Crane operators crashed into the 70-foot ladder they were using. The fire crew held on tight as they were rocked back and forth, but they were all able to climb down unharmed. Investigators believe the crane operator might have been blind by smoke when he slammed into the ladder. Officials say it may take days to figure out the cause of the fire. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
Police in Tennessee charging a suspect in the deadly shooting at a 2-year-old's birthday party. Dyersburg, Tennessee Police Chief Steve Isbell said today 30-year-old Tordius Russell is charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of the child's mother. 7 others were wounded in the shooting in Dyersburg, about 80 miles northwest of Memphis. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon, listeners. Beautiful day. If you have not been outside today, please try to get out early. Or at least make sure that you do something outside tomorrow. We are expecting another beautiful sunny day tomorrow, high of about 64 degrees. But that's going to be the best in a while. And tonight should be clear, down about 38 degrees, so there will be some frost, depending where you live, if it gets any lower than that. But as I said, tomorrow should be a beautiful sunny day, about 64 degrees, maybe even a little bit warmer. And then tomorrow night, there is a chance of showers, about a 50% chance of showers, low of about 35 degrees. And then again, a chance of showers and breezy, as I said, later in the evening. And on Sunday, let's see, I'm just trying to pull the weather up here because there have been a bit contradictory as to what it is. But any event, as I said, chance of showers on Saturday night about 50%, breezy, and about a 30% chance of showers on Sunday. And then Sunday night, believe it or not, there is a 30% chance of either rain or snow, and then a slight chance of snow showers later, low about 29 degrees. So, of course, it's going to depend. If it gets cold enough, it will be snow. Otherwise, it's going to be rain. And then on Monday, there's a 20% chance, slight chance of snow, and then partly sunny in the afternoon, high of about 44 degrees. So again, it depends on how cold it is in the morning. By Monday night, it should be partly cloudy, but a low of 27 degrees. So over the weekend, best day to get out there is tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day, just like we enjoyed today. And then, as I said, by Sunday, it's breezy and chance of showers. So I'm Pat Smits, the program It's the Law. And there's more news about politics than there is legal news, although from reports, it sounds like Trump University, that case was finally settled. And I guess I absolutely know the reason. What happens is in cases like that case and in other cases, there are delays, and often judges grant adjournments, as they should, and there are delay after delay after delay. Well, in this case, apparently Mr. Trump's lawyers were trying to seek and have this delayed until after he's sworn in as president, and the federal judge said, enough of the delay. I've given you more than enough time. You're either going to start a trial after Thanksgiving or you're going to settle the case. Well, of course, that's what precipitated the settlement. And if the judge had given them another delay, you know, I'm not a betting person, but I certainly would have felt that a wager that they would not have settled would have been a very sure bet. So apparently the settlement is between $20 million and $25 million. I've heard that a president-elect is not admitting any fault, but in most of these settlements, that's exactly what happens. There's no admission of fault, and sometimes there is no fault. I mean, there are cases that get settled just because insurance companies want to settle because it's going to cost too much to litigate. But certainly $20 to $25 million is not a small amount of money, and from all reports, Trump University gouged people, and you know, people who could not afford it, poor people who are trying to, you know, emulate the Donald, just lost millions and millions and millions of dollars, and so hopefully they will get a good share of this, because one of the problems with class actions is that they're so expensive that the law firms who take on the class actions often get most of the fees. Now, you can argue both ways. If it's a foolish class action suit just filed to generate fees, that's one thing. But in a case like this, no one plaintiff would have had an opportunity or the money to actually sue without the class action. So it's certainly understandable that in cases like this, attorneys really do need to get paid, because otherwise they wouldn't be bringing these cases. And this was an egregious case from everything I've read. Not surprising, but egregious. And actually, I think some of the counts were fraud counts. If not, they probably should have been. So what is happening? There have not been a lot of legal news. There's not been a lot of published cases recently. But at least there's been a vital step taken towards resolving a judicial crisis in Mercer County. By the New Jersey Senate on Monday of this week. It confirms seven judges to fill all of the remaining vacancies, and also approve the nominations of two other judicial vacancies. So Mercer County will have seven judges, and I think most people can imagine when they were down seven judges, the backlog and the problems that that created. But of course, there are going to be seven new judges. It'll take some time to get up to speed. And this is a problem not only in the state system, but in the federal system. And I've been rallying against the fact that there have been so many federal vacancies. Everybody seems to talk about the Supreme Court, and of course, it is, in my view, vote someone up or down, but just don't let them hang, which is what's happened. And it's also happened in the federal courts. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that there are 52 judicial nominations in the federal courts that are pending. And this is because, frankly, the Republicans have blocked the votes on these judges, some of them up to 2 years, and some of them have been waiting up to 2 years. And, of course, now that the election is over, there will be different people, men and women, nominated for these judicial vacancies. And they probably will go through fairly quickly because of the Republican majority. But this is really a black eye to our government that we wait so long to appoint judges. And it really backs everything up. Certainly in the state court, it backs everything up. Most people think, well, they're not going to be affected. But frankly, if you have anything in the court system, you are going to be affected. You're affected if it takes you 2 years to get a divorce. Legal fees escalate. It has a negative emotional impact on the parties, on their children, and there is, obviously what has to happen in New Jersey is the priorities are given to criminal cases, and they have to be handled rather expeditiously, and that makes it difficult for all the other cases when there are not enough judges. But I'm pleased to be able to report that the seven judges filling all the remaining Superior Court vacancies in Mercer County, they have been filled. Now there is a New Jersey woman who had twins by gestational surrogate, by a gestational surrogate. In other words, she was not the biological mother, has filed a discrimination suit against Verizon Communications because she was not allowed to take time off under the company's paid maternity leave policy. So she's saying, wait a minute, even though I wasn't the one to give birth, these are, in fact, my children, and I should have the same right as someone who gives birth. And many of the companies, and I'm not sure if Verizon has a policy if people adopt, whether they're given paid maternity leave. But parents who adopt or have children via surrogacy are saying that they should, in fact, have the same rights. And I think it depends now, what is the right? Is it the right of a mother to take some time to recover from birth? Then you could argue that the mother who has had a surrogate, she's not going to have that recovery period. But most of the paid policies are policies that are really geared to benefit the babies. And if that's the case, then it doesn't make any difference if the babies were born by a surrogate or by the birth mother or, in fact, adopted. They're going to have the same needs and care. Now, of course, there is certain maternity leave under state disability, so we're not talking about that. Now, our governor nixed unemployment benefits for striking workers. He vetoed legislation that would have broadened the ability of striking workers to collect unemployment benefits while they were off the job. And the argument, of course, against that, well, the argument for the striking employees is, hey, wait, they're not getting a paycheck. The argument against it is, well, they're not getting a paycheck because they're striking. All they have to do is go back to work. So this, most people could argue this on both sides. And most people would understand, in this case, why the governor would have vetoed that legislation. So the question is, there is an issue with respect to arbitration, and there was a case where the parties entered into a business relationship, and often parties that are entering into a business relationship have a fully formulated arbitration agreement. And what the caution is that they should be carefully prepared so that if a dispute arises, the pathway to resolution is fixed and clear. That's why among the suggested provisions is one identifying the arbitrators and the arbitrators and the forum that will be used, and ultimately how the formal final award will be entered. What most people don't understand when we talk about arbitration is that the arbitration agreement itself is so important. Now, I do arbitration, but only in family law matters. And it's very important that the agreement to arbitrate spells out exactly what the parties want the arbitrator to decide. And also, of course, how it's going to be proceeding, whether there will be formal rules of evidence, whether or not things can be submitted, whether or not, obviously testimony and parties testify in an arbitration just as they do in a trial, but there are other ways that they can certainly submit things and stipulate in a way that would not often be done in court. So that, but that is very important as far as the arbitration. I think one of the most important things is to figure out, what each side wants to arbitrate and to be clear what it is, because otherwise the arbitrator could easily overstep the bounds of the arbitration. Now, there was a criminal case approved for publication this week, and it State versus Rivestino, and it was this was issued by Judge Koblitz, and the appellate decision was that based on plain language of the statute, as well as the rule, the state is precluded from aggregating the weight of cocaine and heroin to achieve a higher degree of crime pursuant to the federal statute. Now, so this obviously, this defendant was charged and wanted to make sure that the, wanted to be sure that in this case it was an appellate decision. So I'm not sure if it went up on leave to appeal. That probably was after the trial and after the conviction. Now, there's a real estate case. Although it wasn't approved for publication, still an interesting case for people who are interested in real estate. And this is Katz versus N.T. Callaway Real Estate Broker. And the plaintiff in this case challenged the grant of summary judgment to defendants in action over property plaintiff had purchased. The plaintiff purchased property near an 1882 bridge because she liked the bridge and the slow speeds it required traffic to use. Then, of course, several years later, the county replaced the bridge and rebuilt the road to allow large trucks and higher speed traffic. So plaintiff sued alleging fraud and negligence because the real estate agents knew that she valued the property because of the bridge, and they knew that the county had plans to replace the bridge and rebuild the road and that the new bridge diminished the value of her property. Now, the appellate division in this case found that the trial court had committed an error to the extent it relied on the entire agreement provision in the real estate contract to bar consideration of the plaintiff's evidence of fraud in the inducement. So this was her claim, that she was defrauded and it was fraud in the inducement. Now, however, the appellate division found that summary judgment was proper on common law fraud because plaintiff's attorney had knowledge of the road grant in the title, and that knowledge was imputed to the plaintiff. So the trial court also acted properly in granting summary judgment of the plaintiff's other claims because she failed to show any ascertainable loss. So what does this mean? Well, it means that the case in summary judgment, of course, there can be no real factual dispute, and so that it can the case can be disposed of rather quickly. And in this case, it was important that there was no common law fraud because although the plaintiff may not have known about the road grant in the title of her property, her attorney had knowledge of the road grant in the title, and that knowledge under the law is imputed to the plaintiff. So in other words, someone can't simply say, well, I didn't know that, if in fact their attorney, and they're represented by an attorney, and if their attorney knew that, then it's going, I'm sorry, if the attorney knew, that knowledge is going to be imputed to the party, and there may or may not be an action that this woman can take against her attorney. Probably not, but that would be the only, if she could prove that there was malpractice because the attorney knew that she did not want to be anywhere close to anything other than this old bridge. Sounds like it would be a tough tough case for her. So, of course, there's been a lot of news, legal news, about the Trump's selection of candidates for the U.S. attorney. And, of course, the federal court vacancies are likely to await the naming of cabinet officers. And those of you out there who don't like our governor, Governor Christie, probably thought that one good thing about the election is that he'd be gone. Apparently not. Who knows what the falling out has been, but it's certainly fairly apparent that Governor Christie is not in the inner circle at this point. And in fact, actually I saw him on television claiming that he really wanted to get back to work in New Jersey. I'd like to know how many days he was out of New Jersey in the last 2 years, but I guess that's he's able to full-time campaign and still be the person who's allegedly running the state. Now, a federal judge hearing multi-district litigation has denied the plaintiff's request for leave to seek summary judgment on their theory of what caused the users of a hypertension drug to develop severe side effects. Judge said no. A law firm has filed suit in federal court against an investment company that it claims stiffed them for more than $333,000 in legal fees. And I'm not going to go into the wide speculation about who Mr. Trump plans on nominating for the Supreme Court or any of the other courts. But the, as I said, there are a couple criminal law cases. Another one was a Supreme Court case. And so this is fairly unusual that the Supreme Court agreed to hear this criminal case, State versus Bryant Jr. And the officers in this case, the court found that the officers lacked reasonable and articulable, can't say that word, articulable suspicion that another party was present, much less that the other party posed a danger to the officer's safety. So the protective sweep was thus insufficient to establish an exception to the warrant requirement, and any evidence found as a result of that sweep, even if it was found in plain view, must be excluded and suppressed as fruits of the poisonous tree. Excuse me. Those of us who went to law school always learned about the fruits of the poisonous tree. And basically, in what that means is that the police cannot come in and just search your house or search your car without a warrant or some reasonable suspicion that they must be able to articulate before they can do any kind of entry or search other than a search with a warrant, which they can, of course, if they're able to obtain a warrant, then they can conduct the search. So in this case, the Supreme Court found that there was no reasonable and articulable suspicion that someone else was present or that this other person posed a danger to them. So therefore, everything they found, and it could have been a lot, probably was a lot, everything they found could not be used in evidence, meaning everything the officers found. So there obviously was a lot of incriminating evidence that was found. Officers, because they did not obtain a warrant, none of that's going to be searched. Excuse me, none of that is going to be allowed. Everything is going to be excluded. So that what they found in the search would be excluded. Okay, well, let's see. As I said, well, only a day or two before the election, people were speculating on the future of the lieutenant governor in light of the fact that everyone thought that Republican Governor Chris Christie was on the inside track to be out of New Jersey quickly. So the headlines in November 10th was only a day or two ago, the future of Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie looked pretty bleak. Well, I guess there are some surprises because even though he was an early and close ally to Trump, that's not going to happen. In fact, now he's talking about wanting to serve out his term as governor. So most of us know by now that overwhelmingly the voters in New Jersey defeated a proposed constitutional amendment that would have permitted casino gambling outside of Atlantic City. So that is not going to happen. Atlantic City is going to be the place for gambling in New Jersey. So as I've said probably many times, for the 52 nominees to the federal courts waiting for action by the U.S. Senate, they're, you know, that really spells the end of their hopes to making it to the bench. So some of them have been waiting for nearly 2 years, and, you know, they will not be renominated. I would be very surprised if even one or two were renominated, because It is political. So the again, as I said, there's another published case this week, criminal law, and this was a case where there was a 24-count indictment, but a jury acquitted the appellant of attempted murder and resisting arrest, but he was convicted on all other charges. So on appeal, the defendant argued that the prosecutor committed misconduct. There was a defective jury instruction. There was error in denying dismissal of the charge and excessive sentencing. So now the Court of Appeals, the appellate court, affirmed the conviction, concluding that the state's statements bolstering the undercover surveillance established a prima facie case. If this goes on, I'm not going to read the whole thing or even discuss it. It gets a little bit confusing, even for me. I guess I'd have to read it over twice before I talked about it. So we'll be back after a short break and talk about more news, almost the non-news this week, because as I said, not much going on. And next week, the judges will be in Judicial College for the first 3 days before Thanksgiving. So there won't be anything going on in the court system. And I guess we can be happy about that sometimes, especially those of us who are busy and often go to court. So now we can get some work done in our offices. So we'll be back after a short break.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, we'll take a short news break to see if there's anything popping up that we haven't talked about thus far. And if so, it would be more nominations. Because I know that Mr. Trump is meeting today in Bedminster at his golf club, and we'll see if there's anything more coming out of that meeting. Well, at least we'll see right now if anything more has been reported.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
What I can tell you that the governors have been talking about with the administration is it is extremely important now to move as much back to the states as we can.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley speaking to a gathering of the Federalist Society, informing them of what governors are telling President-elect Trump. Haley also praised the voters who said they were rejecting the way Washington's been running.
They rejected the political class of all stripes, Republicans included. and we have no one to blame but ourselves. There have been broken promises at every level of government.
A Minnesota woman being held by police after he attempted to hang a 16-month-old boy at a local daycare center. Police say the boy is okay.
We understand this male victim has several broken bones and abrasions, but is expected to survive his injuries.
USA Radio News.
This MultiView special report is brought to you by Intel. According to the Consumer Technology Association's Holiday Retail Outlook Study, a record 68% of Americans plan to buy tech gifts this holiday season. With laptops at the top of holiday wish lists, new devices powered by Intel's 7th-gen core processors are bound to be among this year's favorites. 7th-generation Intel core-based systems were built for the immersive Internet, providing premium 4K Ultra HD entertainment and 360-degree video. They're faster than ever, delivering richer visuals for gaming on the go, facial login, long battery life, and much more. Scott Massey, Intel spokesperson.
This holiday season, Intel is powering the thinnest, lightest, and most powerful devices ever. Today's PCs are enabling new, amazing experiences, making now the best time to buy a new PC.
Whether it's a 2-in-1, notebook, mini PC, gaming system, or all-in-one, there is an Intel-powered device for everyone this holiday season. For more information, visit Intel.com.
Okay, we're back. Program It's the Law. We'll have a few more minutes. And there's a case, it's an unreported case, but it somewhat shows what happens. We have in here often a lot of criticism of it's now DCP&P, Division of Protection, and it used to be DIFAS, and so in any event, this is a case, it was not a published case, but this is a situation where the defendant had two children who were the subject of this litigation. Now, the division first became involved with the family in May 2011, after it received a referral that one of the children had been found alone on the street. And so the division began providing substance abuse services to the defendant. However, the defendant tested positive for opiates on several occasions. Then in January of 2013, so this is almost 2 years later, the division initiated a termination of parental rights proceeding, and that was done after defendant failed to complete her substance abuse treatment program. And so they, at that point, felt that they had enough evidence that she would not be able to care for the children. So now, despite attempts and another attempt, in fact, at reunification, the defendant again tested positive for opiates. At the conclusion of the hearing before the trial judge rendered a brief oral opinion concluding that the defendant abused or neglected her two children and that the quote was, because she has a history with the use of heroin. Now, on appeal, the defendant argued that the evidence presented by the division was insufficient to establish that she had abused or neglected her children, as the children were with their grandparents. So on the basis of the court's review of the record, meaning the appellate court's review of the record, and the applicable law, the court reversed the order, and the appellate division held that that proof of a parent's drug use by itself was not enough to sustain a finding of abuse or neglect. So in other words, this court found that even though a parent may abuse drugs, that alone is not enough to sustain a finding of abuse or neglect. And further, the appellate court stated the division, the PCP&P, DCP&P, must establish that at a minimum a parent acted with gross negligence or recklessness to succeed in a prosecution under the statute. So then the appellate division said, applying these principles, the court was persuaded that the division's proofs fell short under the circumstances presented in this case. Now, the defendant's admission that she used heroin and drank alcohol did not establish that she did so while she was responsible for the children's care. And as the evidence was insufficient to establish abuse or neglect, therefore the appellate division reversed the trial court. And this was important, what the division must establish in order to be able to assume guardianship of a child. Well, there's a civil rights case, and again, not published. This was in the Third Circuit Federal Court, Thomas versus Schlosser, and in this case, David Thomas filed 3 civil rights actions in the district court. His claims arose from an incident back in 1996 in which he was accused of shoplifting and threatening employees of a store with a knife. He sued the store, its employees, the police officers who arrested him, doctors who treated him after he allegedly sustained injuries in the course of his arrest, and the officers from whom the prison where he was held. So we also sued them. Now the district court dismissed the complaints in 1997 and 1998. In April of 2016, which obviously was almost 20 years after his complaints were dismissed, he filed an identical one-page motion to reopen. And the district court denied the motions, explaining that he had proven no reason why the court should provide relief. He appealed the circuit court. This is because it's federal, so the district court, the circuit panel found that the district court acted well within its discretion and that the plaintiff was not entitled to relief. And the court also found that the district court did not err
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Okay. Back here. Talking about some of the cases that have been decided by the courts in New Jersey. As I said, there have not been many cases approved for publication. Doesn't mean that the cases that I'm talking about are not interesting. They are. They can't be used for precedent so that a judge can look at them, might like them, might follow that case, but certainly isn't required to do so. Even if it's an appellate division case, a trial judge is not compelled unless it's a case that's approved for publication. Then it has precedent. So there's another civil rights case, Monclavo versus the City of Plainfield. And in September 2014, Hector Monclavo was arrested and incarcerated in a Union County Department of Corrections facility. And he was incarcerated for a crime that he did not commit. So the charges against him were administratively dismissed. However, he alleges that the defendants, the City of Plainfield, and the construction that was going on, he alleged that they were engaged in unconstitutional behavior by encouraging and condoning a system of conducting arrests and incarcerations, and particularly of poor people, that would and did violate the rights of the public. Okay. So, the charges, as I said, were dismissed. He alleged that the City of Plainfield engaged in unconstitutional behavior by encouraging and condoning a system of conducting arrests and incarcerations, especially of poor people, that would and did violate the rights of the public. Further, he said that the City of Plainfield failed to have a system in place to prevent people from being left in prison with no evidence to support an arrest. So in other words, he was claiming he was falsely arrested and that he should not have been in prison. And also said that the city fails to properly train its employees regarding individuals' constitutional rights. So let's see what else we can follow up here.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Well, in this case that I've been talking about, it shows you the kinds of claims that will be put into these complaints. In other words, this plaintiff alleged claims for wrongful arrest, wrongful prosecution, wrongful imprisonment, malicious prosecution, intentional infliction of emotional distress, abuse of process, negligence, and a claim under the New Jersey Civil Rights Act. Now, the Union County Prosecutor's Office contended that it was immune from liability because the state has vicariously, the state was vicariously liable for its actions. And the court in this case said the plaintiff correctly asserted that the Union County Prosecutor's Office waived its 11th Amendment immunity to suit by removing this action to federal court. In other words, it started out in state court, and then that he was trying to move it, or he did move it to federal court. And then, however, the court found that the prosecutor's office was not precluded from raising its immunity under the New Jersey Tort Claims Act. And the court dismissed the Union County prosecutor from the case because under the TCA, the state was vicariously liable for Union County prosecutors' actions. And the court also dismissed the claims against the Union County prosecutor. Well, so that the court denied the motion to dismiss as to the state of New Jersey and the New Jersey Department of the Treasury. So they were talking both the federal and New Jersey law, and they're talking about the basis of prosecutorial immunity, and that is true. Prosecutors' offices, except in rare circumstances, are liable from prosecution. In other words, you're not going to be able to prosecute them because they hold limited liability. Now, there was you can't make some of this stuff up. I mean, people do things that you just shake your head. But this is a case where this was Stanhope versus Bank of America. And the plaintiff moved Stanhope for judgment against the defendants, Deborah and Harry Franke. And that was the plaintiff's mother and stepfather. So the plaintiff sued his mother and stepfather on his claim that they had defrauded him of approximately $300,000. And that was the accusation was made based on the unauthorized access to his bank account.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, well, a couple more cases that were not published, but certainly interesting from people who feel like their mortgagees have made it impossible for them to stay in their homes. And in this was a case, Bank of New York versus Smith, and the Smiths appealed from an order denying her motion to vacate the default judgment of foreclosure entered in December 2014. What happened in August of 2007, the defendant executed a note on a $544,000 loan and a mortgage secured the property in Jersey City. Now, following transfers of the note and mortgage, the loan was assigned to plaintiff. An assignment of mortgage in 2013, and then another note in July 2013, plaintiff filed a complaint for foreclosure. The assignment was thereafter recorded. Defendant did not file an answer, and following the entry of a default, a final judgment of foreclosure was entered. Now, at that point, defendant moved to vacate the final judgment as void for lack of service. And defendant also challenged the plaintiff's standing to foreclose. The court denied defendant's motion. On appeal, defendant renewed her arguments. And whether a party has been served is a question of proof. And recently, I just had that case. And that question came up in an appeal because the defendant on the other side said that he had not been served. This was with the motion and family part, and I was able to prove that he had not only received service but signed for it. But that is a question of proof. And however, in this case, the defendant failed to include many of the documentary exhibits submitted by the parties supporting or opposing the motion. And as a result, the appellate division found that it had no basis to conclude that the judge committed any error in his factual findings, that after an unsuccessful attempt to personally serve the defendant, plaintiff did a skip trace and confirmed the defendant's address. So, the panel had no basis to conclude that the judge erred in his factual findings. Now, the way that they would have proven that and shown that is attaching the record from below so that the court can, in fact, has all of the information necessary to determine whether or not they're going to overturn the trial court. And finally, the defendant was served by
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
So there seemed to be a little downtime. I'm not sure why this wasn't being picked up, but it's the end of the program. I'm Pat Smits. The program, It's the Law, and please be sure to contact me if there are topics that you want discussed, And I'm hoping that we will have more guests at the beginning of the year. Everybody seems to be very busy. I'm finding Friday afternoons is not a great time because after the end of the week, if they're not busy, everybody wants to chill out. But in any event, I don't think that we'll have much between now and the after the holidays. And in fact, we will not be here next Friday. And the courts, as I said, are closed all this week. And then the courts are closed for the week after Christmas. So we're not going to have lots going on from a legal standpoint. So we'll be back, play the news, and then we'll be back after the news and weather, and we'll be back with the sports guys. So please join us.